are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves, and we are really getting close to the end of preseason here. Things are about to get real. I feel like we've been saying that for weeks, but we're just over a week away from real basketball. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about roster construction and how I think the Timberwolves roster is going to end up. As many of you know, the Timberwolves have one too many players on guaranteed contracts versus what the roster limits will allow. So we'll talk a little bit about the battle for the final roster spot. Also, the Wolves made a couple of minor moves late in the day on Monday. So we're going to talk a little bit about those, the players that the Wolves brought in and the players that the Wolves kind of let go of. More on that here in a little bit. Upcoming this week, the Timberwolves have on Tuesday night, they're in Indianapolis to play the Pacers. And then on Thursday, they will be in Milwaukee to play against the Milwaukee Bucks. And that will be a wrap on preseason play. So it feels like, and I guess I didn't look at last year's preseason schedule, but it certainly feels like the Wolves have played a lot more games in a shorter amount of time. Not more games, but five games over the course of about a week and a half, not quite 2 weeks, as in years past. I know they've traveled overseas a little bit in the past for these games, and that does lengthen things out a little bit. But this year, everything's really compacted into 9 days, five games in 9 days. And then they have 9 days, excuse me, 6 days in between their final preseason game and their regular season opener on October 23rd in Brooklyn. So what's remaining on that schedule is, as mentioned, the Pacers on Tuesday. That's at 6 o'clock Central. And then the Bucks on Thursday at 7 o'clock Central. Not a lot to expect from these games outside of hopefully getting some of these guys in rhythm a little bit more and perhaps a few more minutes for some of the guys towards the end of the roster. Maybe some of the guys in the middle of the roster that have carried the brunt of the minutes, like a Jake Lehman, for instance, who's on the team and he's in the rotation. It's just a matter of figuring out exactly how he's going to fit. So maybe those guys will see a few less minutes and we'll see some more for some of the folks at the end of the roster who we're going to talk about here today. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I would expect some of the starters and the, I guess, front of the rotation guys who played, all the starters played most of the first quarter and then nothing else in the last preseason game on Sunday against Maccabi Haifa. So I think it's fair to expect that to be expanded a little bit, get some of those guys some run maybe at the start of the second half. Maybe they're playing first and third quarter, something like that, to build up some of that endurance a little bit, but not overwork them, and then work through some of the second string rotation guys and get a feel for the end of the roster and who is going to make the team as we start looking at roster balance and just, you know, how many guys can run the point, how many guys can play the four, where does what does the end of the roster look like, what's the inactive list going to look like every night, or will this team be fairly fluid with how they handle roster moves over the course of the season, which I think is probably where we'll end up here. So we'll talk a little bit more about that and get a good sense for where the Timberwolves are at. And then, as mentioned, talk through some of the end of roster kind of fringy moves that the Wolves are making in order to kind of, you know, keep up that roster churn and make sure that the most talent possible is on the roster, which is something that I'm not sure Wolves front offices of recent years past have done an outstanding job of. So we're going to get right into the roster construction portion here in just a moment. But first, Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. That's $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. Right now, the Timberwolves have a total of 16 guys on guaranteed contracts. That includes two two-way contracts, which means that they have one too many players on guaranteed contracts for the season. We'll talk in a minute about the guys on the Exhibit 10 contracts, excuse me. There was a little bit of movement there on Monday, so we'll talk through that. First, we're going to take a look at the actual guaranteed contracts and what that's going to look like moving forward. The two-way guys, Keelan Martin and Jordan McLaughlin, are two-way guys, and so they're going to, they can't spend, there's a limit on the amount of time they can spend in the NBA with the Timberwolves, and the rest of the year they'll be with the Iowa Wolves down in Des Moines of the G League. And Lindell Wigginson and Jordan Murphy were on Exhibit 10 contracts, and the Wolves actually added a couple more guys on those contracts on Monday. And that leaves, outside of those guys, that leaves 16 guys for 15 spots, if you include the inactive list. And we're going to take a look. You know, there's a number of players that are clearly going to be on the team this year and clearly going to, have guaranteed deals and aren't going anywhere. That leaves us with a handful of players at the bottom of the roster that there's a possibility that they could be waived to make room, or somebody's going to need to either be waived or traded in order to make room. For instance, Gorgui Dieng makes too much money for the Timberwolves to waive him. They're not going to stretch him. There's a very small chance they'd be able to trade him at this point in the preseason. Odds are he's just an end-of-the-bench guy who's going to know his role. Him and Ryan Saunders get along well. Gorgui's going to find out, like, hey, you're the 11th guy or whatever on the team, and you're only going to play in, certain matchups perhaps, or if Towns gets into quick foul trouble and the Wolves want to play a big lineup with Jordan Bell on the floor along with either Towns or another big man. So Gorgui's not going to see regular minutes more likely than not, but not realistically, he's not going to get moved, or at least not going to get moved before the season. The Wolves went ahead and gave guaranteed money to everybody. So Tyrone Wallace was claimed off waivers from the Clippers, and he did have a roster bonus, I guess you would call it, this fall, and the Wolves kept him on the roster, didn't waive him before that. So that indicates that they liked him enough to claim him on waivers, pay him a little bit of a roster bonus. That's an NFL term, but it's basically what it was, to keep him on the roster through training camp and through the preseason. And he's played pretty well when he's seen the court in preseason. So Tyrone Wallace would be one candidate who does have a couple of years of guaranteed money, or a couple of 2 years guaranteed, or 2 years on the contract. The guaranteed money is actually only about a little less than $1.4 million. So it's not a huge number, meaning that he would actually be one of the guys that the Wolves would take the smallest cap hit on if they were to simply waive him. The others would be Naz Reid, who is an undrafted rookie. The Timberwolves originally signed to a two-way deal, but he played so well in Vegas in the summer league that they gave him guaranteed money over 3 years. While the cap hit itself, the guaranteed money, is less than $1 million, seems pretty unlikely they'd give him a three-year deal and then turn around and waive him, and he's been good in the preseason. So Reed's theoretically an option because he's the cheapest player on the roster and he was undrafted, but I'd be surprised if he was waived. Jalen Noel was the Wolves' second-round draft pick, and he also was actually the last rookie to sign after Naz Reid did. His agent held out for a little more guaranteed money and stretched out over 4 years. The contract's $4.7 million or so, but only about $1.4 million is guaranteed. So a relatively small cap hit there as well, at least in terms of guaranteed money. So that means there's three guys that each have less than $1.4 million guaranteed money that are at the end of the Wolves roster and are basically battling it out for the final roster spot. The other kind of fringe candidates that it would be a real surprise if anything happened with. I mean, Jordan Bell's not going anywhere. Noah Vonleh's not going anywhere. Both veterans who signed 1 year deals that have upside that the Wolves brought in for a reason. And then the possibility of trading a Gorgui Dieng or Kata Bates Diop would be kind of the dark horse option for somebody who may not make the team. Bates Diop was the only player outside of two-way player Keelan Martin and Jordan Bell who was injured, who didn't play in the preseason game on Sunday. It was reported after the game he had back spasms. I'm not here to start any conspiracy theories, but there's always the possibility that they're being careful with him because perhaps they're considering trading Kata Bates. Yeah, perhaps there's something, somebody who he was an old rookie. He's already 23 years old. He's going to be 24 pretty soon. And it's debatable how much upside he's got, but at the same time, he has a game that should be pretty plug and play for the end of a rotation of an NBA team at this point. But the Wolves just added too much depth on the wing and too much depth at the four to ensure that Bates Diop's actually going to see minutes. So I think if we're handicapping this, the guys who realistically have an option of being cut or traded are Kata Bates Diop, Naz Reid, Tyrone Wallace, and Jalen Knoll. Of those four, I mean, three of the four were draft picks, second-round draft picks last year, this year. Two of the four were. Tyrone Wallace was a waiver claim, and Naz Reid was the undrafted rookie they just signed. My bet is that Wallace or Bates Diop is the player that will be jettisoned from the roster. My guess is that the Wolves are going to try and trade one of them. And if we're looking at roster balance and positional flexibility and what the Wolves need the most, it wouldn't surprise me if Bates Diop was the player that was moved. I would be a little surprised if they weren't able to get a future pick or something for him, because he was Big Ten Player of the Year 2 years ago, had some solid moments as a rookie, played very well in the G League last year, was a second-round pick. But of the two, Wallace can contribute immediately as a third point guard. And, you know, with Jordan McLaughlin right now serving as the third point guard on a two-way deal, especially if Jeff Teague were to get injured or Shabazz Napier were to get injured, the Wolves don't have a ton of depth there. And Wallace can also play the two, guard the two, and has some switchability there in the backcourt. Bates Diop is a three and a four, but has a little bit more limited athleticism. He's got a bigger uphill climb in terms of playing time. Players ahead of Bates Diop, I mean, he's essentially, Jake Lehman's a three and a four also. Robert Covington's going to play the three and the four. Jordan Bell's going to play some four along with the five. And if the Wolves choose to play small, I mean, guys like Andrew Wiggins and Jarrett Culver could even play the four as well. And Noah Vonleh pretty much is strictly a four. So Bates Diop is a little bit down the depth chart in terms of guys who are going to see minutes on the wing at the three or at the four. So it really wouldn't be a surprise if the Wolves did look to find a move that they could make with Bates Diop and try not to lose him for anything. He does have over $2 million still guaranteed on his deal. So they probably don't want to lose him for nothing. And that's why I say I think it wouldn't be crazy to think that they might be able to get a future pick or something in exchange for Bates Diop. I don't know if it's the best allocation of resources, but remember, this regime did not draft Bates Diop, whereas the other guys we just mentioned they brought in over the past few months, whether it be Knoll or Tyrone Wallace or Naz Reid, those are all guys that this regime brought in. And I don't think they're going to reverse course that quickly in one of those guys, unless they still feel that Bates Diop has enough upside. And then I think the second most likely player to go would be Tyrone Wallace, as his cap hit would be smaller or the dead money would be smaller, and they may just turn around and release him back to waivers here. So those would be, I think, the two options on that front, with my money going to Bates Diop. For better or for worse, I think he would be the most likely player and perhaps dark horse option to create that roster spot that the Wolves need. Next, we're going to talk about the two new players that the Timberwolves signed on Monday and what that means for the Iowa Wolves and the end of the Timberwolves roster as it stands today. On Monday afternoon, the Timberwolves announced that they made a pair of roster moves. The Timberwolves waived Jordan Murphy and Lindell Wigginton, who were both Exhibit 10 contract signees that had played in a preseason game just on Sunday and been with the team through training camp. If you're not familiar with the Exhibit 10 contract, essentially allows the Timberwolves to basically makes them preferred G League players in that they get a bonus of up to $50,000 if they spend a certain amount of time on the G League roster. And it allows the Timberwolves to pay those guys closer to six figures to stay stateside and play on their G League team and provide some depth. And they were also obviously a part of training camp and had the ability to develop with the Timberwolves coaching staff. You know, it gives the Wolves some more familiarity with those players. So they've been waived from camp and can now be assigned to the G League, which was the plan all along. So not really significant, except for that the Wolves are really gaming the system a little bit here. Not that they're unique in doing it, but it allows them to sign two more guys to Exhibit 10 contracts for the tail end of training camp. We're only 9 days away, or I guess 8 days away from the start of the regular season for the Wolves, and they're going to bring in a couple of new players that haven't even been a part of training camp, basically to call dibs and get them on Exhibit 10 contracts. If you followed the Wolves through the summer, they're going to be players that you've heard of before. Tyus Battle, formerly of Syracuse, and Barry Brown Jr., formerly of Kansas State. Both players played on the Timberwolves' summer league entry in Las Vegas. And so if you watched those games or paid attention, kept an ear to the ground, than you would have seen those names. They both appeared in several games for the Summer League team. Barry Brown Jr. appeared in all seven games and averaged 16.6 minutes per game. He also averaged 8 points a game, shot 40% from the field, and his three-point shooting was, I guess they don't have that here on the Summer League stats for some reason, but he wasn't a big three-point shooter in college. He's only 6'3". He's essentially a two-guard that can guard three positions. He was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year as a senior and was all Big 12 first team. Led Kansas State in basically every statistical category, and wasn't a great scorer. Shot just 43.3% from the field as a senior, just under 30% from 3-point range and 71% from the free throw line. But again, his calling card is defense. He's a bulldog type defender in terms of size. You know, again, 6'3", not a crazy athlete or anything like that, but somebody who can play solid defense. On really positions 1 through 3 in terms of switching, but really guard positions 1 and 2 extremely well. It gives the Wolves that dynamic, some depth in that type of a role. Tyrone Wallace right now is a similar type of a body type of player where he's the defense first, can guard 1 and 2 and can switch onto some threes, and may make the roster, may not, as we just talked about. But Brown gives them some additional depth there and the ability to get to know, at least in the next few days of training camp and maybe over the course of the final two preseason games, another player who could at some point make an impact at the NBA level over the course of the season. The other signee was Tyus Battle, who maybe is a little bit of a bigger name to casual basketball fans as he played at Syracuse and was there for a while. He also signed an Exhibit 10 contract. He, again, will same deal there where he can receive the bonus of up to $50,000, has to play up or stay in the G League for up to 60 days this season. Battle only played in 6 games in the Summer League with the Timberwolves. He played a little bit less, averaged just under 11 points a game, only 3 points per game, shot 43% from the field, only attempted 14 shots. Battle is a little bit more of a wing. He's 6'6". If you squint looking at his photos from college, Wolves fans might have flashbacks to Wes Johnson as he was a little bit smaller, 6'4", maybe a little bit more slender, wing player, out of Syracuse, obviously drafted 4th overall. Tyus Battle's undrafted, so not exactly the same expectations. But Battle also went undrafted this year, and he played 3 seasons at Syracuse, averaged 17 points a game as a senior, and was only a 33.5% 3-point shooter over his career, but he did shoot free throws at 80%. There's certainly some upside there for Battle in terms of having some athleticism and length to him, and likely will, could be a solid defender at the NBA level. And basically the G League was created for guys like him who have some decent college experience but didn't quite have the game that is needed of somebody that makes an NBA roster, as a 22-year-old. So he'll have every opportunity in the G League. The Wolves will get a look at him here over the next week, get to know him a bit more after his Summer League performance, and then make a call in terms of whether or not they think he can be an NBA player moving forward for them after they see him through training camp and the rest of preseason. I wouldn't expect those guys to get a whole lot of run in the actual preseason games, maybe in the last game on Thursday, as Murphy and Wigginton didn't get to play until the 4th quarter of a 30-point win over Maccabi Haifa on Sunday. But that remains to be seen. We should get a pretty good idea here later this week. But kudos to the Wolves for taking advantage of having some additional roster spots and the being able to use the Exhibit 10 contract to their advantage, as that's a relatively new tool. But positive sign that the Wolves are leaving no stone unturned when it comes to churning the end of their roster. And we will find out again here shortly as well who the final man on the active roster will be also. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. That's all we have for you today. We'll be back later in the week with some recaps of the preseason games and a look ahead. Perhaps we'll have a little more information on the Timberwolves' final roster and what that might look like for the year. So we'll definitely cover that for you. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.